Good morning. A reading from Psalm 136. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down and there we wept when we remembered Zion. On the willows, there we hung up our harps, for there our captives asked us for songs and our tormentors asked for mirth, saying, "Sing us one of the songs of Zion." How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand wither. Let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not remember you, if I do not set Jerusalem above my highest joy. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. A reading from the book of Nehemiah. Following the destruction of Jerusalem, the survivors who escaped captivity were in great trouble and shame. The walls of Jerusalem were broken down and its gates had been destroyed by fire. There was an Israelite named Nehemiah who was cupbearer to King Antaxerxes. When he heard the fate of Jerusalem and its people, Nehemiah wept and mourned, fasting and praying before God, saying, "O Lord God, the great and awesome God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love you and keep your commandments, be attentive to the prayer of your servant and your people Israel." And Nehemiah asked the king if he might be sent to Judah to rebuild Jerusalem, and the king agreed. Nehemiah went to Jerusalem and began to repair the walls with the people. Others laughed at their efforts, but the people had a mind to work. Some became angry and planned to destroy the wall, but the people set up a guard by the wall to protect it from their enemies. The people cried out because they did not have enough food and had had to pledge their fields and vineyards and houses to purchase food and to pay the king's tax. And Nehemiah brought charges against the officials, saying, "This thing that you are doing is not good. Restore to the people this very day what is theirs." And the officials agreed. Nehemiah was appointed governor in the land of Judah, and he did not burden the people by requiring heavy payments. He continued the work on the wall, and it was completed. And the people returned from exile, and their presence was recorded. The people gathered together in a square and asked the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses. Ezra read the law, and the people listened. On the second day, the festival of booths was celebrated. And on the 24th day of the month, the people gathered to confess their sins and the sins of their ancestors. And the people renewed their covenant with God to adhere to the law of God and to observe the Torah of the Lord. The leaders of the people lived in Jerusalem, and the rest of the people cast lots to bring out 1 in 10 to live in the city as well. Among those who came to live in Jerusalem were Levites, including Mattaniah, who with his associates was in charge of the songs of thanksgiving, according to the commandment of David. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
This summer at West Concord Union Church, we have been exploring the songs of the Bible, as you may have heard a few weeks ago. There are more than 185 songs in our Bible. They are sung by different people and for very different reasons. We've heard in our series songs of praise and songs of victory and one song of eulogy. But so far, we have not touched on another large category of biblical songs, songs of lamentation. There is, in fact, a whole book of Lamentations, as you may know. The Book of Lamentations is a set of five songs traditionally thought to be written by the prophet Jeremiah. These songs mourn the destruction of Jerusalem, its community, and its great temple. How lonely sits the city that once was full of people. How like a widow she has become, she that was great among the nations. Judah has gone into exile, was suffering in hard servitude. She lives now among the nations. She finds no resting place. Her pursuers have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. Songs of communal lamentation in the Bible are not limited to the Book of Lamentations. There are several psalms that fit this pattern as well. They express grief for what has happened to the people, for what has happened to the nation. They remember God's past acts of salvation. They ask for God's help for holy restoration. In the psalm Andrew read today, those who are in exile in Babylon following the destruction of Jerusalem tell us, "By the rivers of Babylon we sat down and we wept when we remembered Zion. Our captors and tormentors asked us to sing songs of Zion. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land?" It is hard to sing at all in a strange place, in a difficult time. And yet these very words in our scriptures are part of a psalm, part of a song. So we see that singing has been an important part of the process of mourning for our ancestors in faith. I feel a profound sense of grief about our public life, our communal life, our national life today. We are not in the same position as inhabitants of Jerusalem. Our holy city has not been destroyed, and most of us are not exiles from our homeland. And yet it is a troubled and a troubling time. So I wonder what we might grieve in our common life in America today. What do you grieve about our city or our state or our nation or our world? Our griefs might be different than one another's, and that's okay. I wonder if anyone would be willing to share in a word or a phrase, anything that you grieve in our common life now. You could raise a hand if you have an idea. Anne?
Intolerance.
Intolerance.
Yeah. Our beautiful planet.
Yes, our beautiful planet.
Inequality.
Inequality.
Children separate.
Yes, children separated from their parents, and so many injustices to immigrants and refugees. Yeah. Yeah.
Loss of continuity with our ancestry.
Loss of continuity with our ancestry.
Our children's feeling that it's not a fair world, that it's not a fair world.
Mm-hmm. Our children feeling and knowing that it's not a fair or safe world. Yeah. So I encourage you as a spiritual practice to consider reading the Book of Lamentations. It's quite short. Whether it's new to you or it's something that you're very familiar with. And considering if you wrote a song of lamentation today, for our country, for our common life, what you would write, what you would say, what you grieve most deeply about what we have lost and who we are now, and perhaps what we have never yet become together, what we still yet aspire to that we have never had. And we're so glad Megan is with us. And that she's offering us something as well. The longer reading this morning that you heard is a section from the book of Nehemiah. If the book of Lamentations describes the pain of the destruction of Jerusalem, this story from Nehemiah is
what happens next.
What happens afterwards? I'll keep turning this way. is. Sorry, I'm not familiar with this microphone. So at first, as you may have heard, the rebuilding does not go so well. When Nehemiah, he's an Israelite serving in a royal court, he hears that far away his people, his city, has suffered destruction and exile, and he feels called to come and rebuild. And at first, it's a little bit challenging. Some folks laugh at those who are trying to build the city wall again. And others try to destroy it, the new wall being built. Still, one way or another, the wall continues to rise. And other things change for the better, too. Nehemiah brings legal action against the officials who are starving the people through heavy taxation. And I would love to know what his strategies were. Because they just say, wow, he was successful. Like, it seems like that would have been a hard negotiation, especially in that political system, to get done. But somehow he is successful. And the people begin to slowly recover from starvation, from the impacts of occupation, from the impacts of oppression. And Nehemiah becomes the governor of Judah, and more people return to their homeland. To me, a really fascinating moment in this story is what happens when there's finally a crowd again in the square, in the rebuilt city of Jerusalem. The people ask Ezra, a scribe, to bring the book of the law of Moses and to read the law out loud to them. They're hungry for religion when they come back to town. And they begin to practice their faith again together and renew their covenant with God. And there's this one line. We learn that among those who have come back to live in Jerusalem are those whose particular job it is to be in charge of the songs of thanksgiving. So there's a sense that even after everything that has happened, there will be songs of thanksgiving sung again amongst the people after so much suffering. If we want to rebuild our common life, to restore good things from the past and begin good things that have never yet happened among us, I wonder if it starts with music. Music that can bring our voices together in grief. Music that brings our voices together in longing. Music that brings our voices together in hope. Music that brings our voices together eventually, despite everything, in songs of thanksgiving. We need music in doubt and in faith, in grief and in joy. Music is a gift from God that helps us to express what is deepest in our hearts. It connects us with one another and it connects us with all that is holy. The Book of Lamentations contains songs of exile from the people of Israel. And there are songs of exile in our own American songbook, too. Some of those who were stolen from their homelands in Africa and the Caribbean and beyond and enslaved on our shores made songs. W.E.B. Du Bois calls these spirituals sorrow songs. Very similar to the word lamentations. He says they are the most beautiful expressions of human experience born this side of the seas. So today we're going to sing one of those American sorrow songs. As we sing, let us offer this song as a prayer that our singing together in grief, in longing, in hope, in thanksgiving will help remake each of us and be part of the remaking of our nation. Amen.